Chapter 34.
Hey, boss, what's you? A quick glance behind Aurora tells me everything I need to know. Jaden, the really quiet one on the orange team, has his arm pinned in one of the gears on the mining excavator feeder that grinds anything we dig up into analyzable powder. I can't see beyond the gear. There's blood mixed with the drill lubricant all over the place. So there could be a whole lower arm and hand in there, salvageable, or it could be a couple of pounds of ground meat. My bet is ground meat. Aurora leans into my ear, whispers, "Look, you know I'm faking this whole thing, but Jaden's hurt bad. I can't fake this shit. Everyone's flipping out. Help." She's right about the flipping out. It's like a coop full of chickens just saw a fox stroll in. "Okay, everyone calm down. Nana's right. Calm down, solve the problem." "Nana? Sorry, something she says. Albert, give me the brief." Oh boy, okay. "Lucy, give me the brief." "The feeder was jammed with a rock. Jaden stopped it, reached in, but somehow it turned back on. We stopped it immediately, but his hand got sucked in." Claire faints. One down. "You couldn't reverse it? The reverse shorted out, I think. Won't work. Will it turn forward?" Jaden shouts. "You want to turn it forward? My arm is in there." "Listen, if it's like a broken lift, we can trick it into thinking it's going forward, even though the gear is turning backward. Does it have an audible interface?" "No, visual only, panel-based." Crap. I move to face the input panel. Okay. Settings. Good. There's a command line option. "Albert, you think you can dig into the settings deep enough, search for gear rotation?" "Albert, snap out of it, man. I need you. Can you do it?"
"I can try."
"You better." I turn to Jaden. "How are you holding up, buddy?" He spits out through his teeth.
"My arm is in the mining feeder. Is that a rhetorical question?"
"Now, if this works, Jaden, your arm's going to come out the way it went in. And that's not all good news. Right now, the gear is so clamped down on you, it's staunching any bleeding. But as soon as you're free, you're probably going to go off like a geyser." Sophia faints. Two down. "We'll tourniquet at your shoulder. That'll help. But just letting you know."
"Thanks."
"You're welcome. Would you rather be awake or asleep?"
"Another rhetorical question."
"Okay, Aurora, go into the med bay. Find the propofol, get it, and a syringe stat."
"Stat?
I watch a lot of TV. Go!" Albert calls from the other side.
"Got it. Found the line of code, I think."
"Good. Can you set the forward rotation to a negative number?"
"I think."
"Don't think, just do. On my count, commit the edit and recompile." Albert nods. "5. Lucy faints. 3 down. 4. Aurora jabs Jaden with the needle. He's out in an instant. 3. I put my arms under Jaden's shoulder. Aurora supports his other shoulder. 2. Benji runs over and kicks the med bay dome open for us. Avery jumps off the bed and cowers by a cabinet. 1. Albert stutters.
"On one, we're on go. Just go!"
Albert commits. The machine thinks for a moment, and then the gear grinds backward. We pulled Jaden out in a spray of blood. Albert faints. 4 down. I pause for just a millisecond to admire the human body. It's an amazing machine, and actually much more flexible and resilient than we think. Take Jaden's arm, for example. To look at that mining gear, you'd expect hamburger to come spitting back out. But the whole arm in one piece reappears. It's broken in, oh God, at least 15 places, and there's so much blood I can't see where the cuts are, but it's whole. Amazing. I pull the tourniquet even tighter as we haul ass to the med bay dome, plop him on the table, and the miracle machine goes to work, immediately sucking his arm into his sleeve like a balloon around the whole thing, but clear so we can watch it washing his wounds, stitching his lacerations, setting his bones, waving the wand thing, reinfusing him with his own lost blood.
Whew.
Aurora looks down at our shirts, covered in blood and drill lubricant. That is not gonna come out. And we start laughing and share a hug and then start crying, releasing all the freakout that had bottled up inside us. Thanks, Robin. Don't thank me, Aurora. Thank this miracle machine. In answer, the machine beeps. Chance of full recovery, 99.3%. Time to recovery, 18 days. See? What can't this thing do? The machine beeps again. Update. There seems to be a problem. Oh, for Christ's sake. It was a rhetorical question. Another beep. Mr. Jaden Freed is showing signs of epileptic seizure and cardiac arrest. Jaden's body is convulsing. Medbay, do something. Negative. Mobile medbay not equipped for arrhythmias caused by temporal lobe epilepsy, as this condition is present only in 0.02% of humans and not included on Mr. Jaden Freed's medical report. Please schedule immediate transfer to full medbay facility. Transfer? Yes. We can't do that. We're in a freaking dome in the middle of nowhere. Think, think, think. I look around at the faces staring at Aurora and me. What the hell are we going to do? Who knows even the slightest thing about medbays? Albert, Sophia, Tanner, Benji? Wait. Benji. Benji! Your phone! Give me your phone! What phone? Me? We're not allowed phones. Remember, zero access. I don't have a... No time! The phone from the bus! Benji runs back to our shelter dome, reaches under his cot, pulls out a pair of underwear, and tucked inside is the phone. He dashes back and hands it to me. Gross, Benji. You want the phone or not? Ick, it smells. I'm not kidding. I tap out a number. Hello? Good afternoon, Groupie Studios. How may I direct your call? Zach Larson. The woman on the other end tries not to, but she chuckles. Is there a department you'd like to be directed to? Zach Larson, now. I can take a message. Put him on. Now. I'm sorry. Mr. Larson has a staff. It's Robin Smith. You got a TV there? Look at it right now. I'm giving the finger to the big board, assuming there's a camera up there. See that? That's me, talking to you live in front of a billion people. I'll put him on. Thank you. Larson's on the line faster than a bolt of lightning. How did you get a phone in there? That's your first question? We've got a little problem, Zach. Aurora nudges me. Gee, you guys are on a first-name basis? He told me to call him... It doesn't matter. Zach, Jaden's in trouble. I have eyes. Then do something. Before I even finish saying the words, four people, at least I think they're people, they're in head-to-toe white quarantine suits, push past me. They grab the top of the medbay bed and silently, perfectly, rush in unison out of the medbay and out of sight with Jaden toward the other larger dome without a word. Avery Jacobs calls after them, "Hey, what about me?" A fifth quarantine suit guy, who I hadn't even noticed, turns to her, shrugs. "Wait, the phone. I hear Larson's voice. Robin, are you still there?" Yes. This call was unnecessary. Do you really think I would let you die? The fifth suit guy puts his hand out, wordlessly but clearly demanding the phone. I hand it over, and as he grabs the phone from my hand and snaps it in two, in that moment before it dies, I faintly hear Larson's voice. Strike two.